Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this week's investment review from February the 1st, 2023. We've wrapped up the month of January, been quite an active month, so we'll look to talk to quite a bit about what we've seen transpire as well over the past week, as well as within the month of January. First, taking a look at the major asset class review, as well as taking a brief look at Dolly. We look at the performance of the indices we follow on the video and seeing most U.S. equity indexes in positive territory. Leading the way to the upside was the Russell 2000. Up almost 2.5%. NASDAQ composite up over 2% as well. So emerging markets dial back a little bit. We really didn't see too much change on the chart there. Even saw crude and gold in negative territory as well. Coming over to that chart of the Russell 2000 with action this week, we saw it move above that 1900 resistance there as it rallied above 1910 with yesterday's action continued that rally moving up to 1930, reaching levels we haven't seen since August of last year. Really being the first U.S. equity index to clear this pretty notable resistance from September and even November, looking at the Russell 2000, seeing a couple others rally up to it, and we'll see if they're able to show that follow through as well. On the indicator front, we saw the multiple sell signal for the NYSE, this particular indicator measuring those percentage of stocks that are seeing multiple sell signals on their point and figure charts, and it actually has fallen down to 22% following Friday's action and has continued lower, looking potentially to mark an O there at 20%, which would be the lowest level we've seen since November of 2021 if it were to hit that 20% mark. Additional action on indicators, we did see the positive trend for the S&P 500, that symbol being PTSPX, move above the 70% level there, bettering the prior high from December and also now reaching a level we haven't seen in roughly 12 months since January of 2022, hitting that 70% mark. Moving on over to Dolly, didn't see much change within the asset classes. Most of the change we've seen over the past week continues to be under the hood within the asset classes. We saw industrial metals overtake precious metals within the commodity space. And within U.S. equities, we've seen energy fall down to the second position as basic material has moved up to the first position. Will be worth watching as energy gave up 8 buy signals last night. And there were quite a few charts that we continue to monitor within energy space or energy proxies as they are relatively close to potentially yielding further signals. So may keep an eye on that energy sector there within Dolly as well. Elsewise, most of the rankings remain fairly stable over the past week. So for more on asset classes, we'll go ahead and pass it on over to Steve.
Thank you, David. As we proceed into February, which is a seasonally quarter month, let's take a look at some of the top line indicators we often review. The money market percentile rank moves down into somewhat the lower field position. Historically, you know, we see a lot of time being burnt between 2% and 15%. So I would call this more of a nominal level at this point. The U.S. core percentile rank is holding at the 80th percentile, upticks a little bit over the week, holding pretty confident with the intermediate bullish percent moving up into the 78 range. So big boost there week over week, maybe up 6 clicks. You know, as we consider the asset classes that score above 3, it's an enormous boost over this week, but certainly over January. We now have 70 groups that score above 3. We're starting to populate groups that score above 4. Of these, we have groups that are making, you know, new relative high scores, you know, as we speak, like basic materials. The equal-weighted asset crosses above 4 at a new high score relative in the last multi-month. Just a lot going on with the average asset class, including all value funds, making a new relative high. On this subject, let's talk about it maybe one more time. Where January, I tried to bracket in the January part here of all equity funds. We have an enormous move over January. The close of the month was, you know, yesterday's data point. And it's just a stellar move. In fact, inched up well over the week before and the week before. I also wanted to include the all funds. Don't show this very often. It just means any fund of any kind around the world doing anything, including fixed income, commodity, non-US, it doesn't matter. And I wanted to make a point that had a big lunge here also. And just crossed above the 3 line, probably for the first time I've ever seen that since 2021. So super broad participation amongst all kinds of asset allocation groups. Now, with that said, the equity portion of it still not really overbought to a degree that I would call harmful. I would say nominal still. But when we look at the equity moving averages long term, we had a big boost this week, up another like 8 clicks. So our trending components are improving across all types of equity. And when we take a look at the value growth contrast, I want to say, obviously, value's in control, has the better score and methodically moving higher. But growth had another outstanding, week, set of 2 weeks. It's still closing this gap here with enormous moves out of growth, what we would say recently. Let me maybe conclude with this. This is the international, all global and international. It's equity-based. The scores we've been talking about, Dolly's been talking about, the references have been there for multi-months. But again, I'm trying to bracket in the January effect, and we have a major move here. The reason I bring it up is that we're starting to see major competition by international funds moving into what I call average models, models that are not exclusively dedicated to non-US, but are what we call all asset rotation, AAR. And what we see here is a lot of competition of international funds trying to get in there and get to top positions in a model. This is the first time you've seen something of this caliber for years. So be advised that models will start to pick up on some of this. But for more on momentum and how the dollar's faring, let's move over to John.
Great. Thanks a lot, Steve. So looking at momentum, the month of January was really not kind to high momentum or high relative strength strategies, really across the board. So we saw a pretty bad January domestically. We saw it in emerging and developed. That January effect was really in, full mode this go around. One other way to look at this that we don't show all the time, but this is just the performance in January of the different momentum deciles that we track. And remember, this is a group of mid and large cap securities. We form these deciles just based on a very simple 12-1 trailing performance metric that's very popular in the academic literature. You can see the leaders all the way over there on the left, barely moved in January. Those were the things that had done the best in the 12 months leading up to January. So really the best performers of 2022 did very poorly to start off 2023. You can see all the way over on the right, those laggards delivered tremendous performance. Something like Tesla, for example, really came off the bottom. But when you look at the chart, even with all of that large performance, something like Tesla is still technical attribute two, still below the trend line. So a lot of that bounce from a lot of those names were really bounces off the bottom that didn't dramatically improve the momentum or the technical picture. A lot of those things still remain with very low technical attributes and also below their trend line and things like that. So it was a very interesting month for momentum, and that's something to kind of keep an eye on as we move through February. We expect that to kind of dissipate, and we would expect to return to a more normal relationship between the leaders and the laggards. Now, looking at the U.S. dollar, that continues in its downtrend. We've had the 5 consecutive sell signals so far. We keep putting in more boxes down on the default chart of DXY. And again, this is the dollar has been in this kind of large decline for a while, but we're not really even at oversold levels. So certainly we could move lower from here, and that would be expected considering what the current trend is of the U.S. dollar. And for more on currencies and what's going on in the crypto space, we'll turn it over to Miles.
Thanks, John. And speaking of the laggards, it was another productive month or productive week, that is, for cryptocurrencies. Speaking of an absolute performance based, we saw Litecoin, we've mentioned before, up the leader over the past 7 days, up 7%. Conversationally as well, the best month for Bitcoin, up 39%, opening month, that is, of January since 2012. But besides that, outside of that absolute performance there. No real notable changes over the last 7 days within the NASDAQ crypto index NCI. So to continue to hold or within looking for exposure within that space, look for those names which are sitting in positive trends, that being Litecoin and Ethereum, both sitting in positive trends and on buy signals here. If you want a satellite position, maybe consider Uniswap, $UNI there, which recently moved back into a positive trend, is on a buy signal, and recently moved back to a buy signal on its relative strength chart against money market as well. But that's all here, and I'll pass it over to Joseph for more on size and styles.
Thanks, Miles. And, you know, as we wrap up January and enter February, there weren't too many changes when we look at the Dolly size and style rankings. And I wouldn't say there were too many changes within the rankings themselves on the asset class group scores page either. Now, what we have seen is as Steve and we've touched on a couple of times, a fairly big rally from these growth areas. And we entered this year, most of these had scores below 2.5, we're scoring below money market. And we've seen those start to pop up a bit on their just regular average score front here. Looking at small growth, just moved above the 3.0 score line. Mid growth's close to challenging that. And then we see large cap growth, you know, back above 2.5. As Steve touched on, you know, some of this stuff is getting a little overbought, but not excessively overbought. You know, we see small cap growth's at 84%, which is, you know, I would say pretty high, but usually when we're looking at the group scores page, we're looking at 100% or higher on that OBOS to signal heavily overbought. Now, you know, as John touched on, this month has been pretty much led by the laggards, which if you're broadening out, you would classify that as kind of the growth area has done really well compared to the value space. Now, when we look at some of these indicators for just growth in general, looking at the bullish percent for growth, it's at 54%. Now, this is kind of significant just because the August high was at 56%. So if we continue to move higher, that would definitely be a big regime type of change compared to 2022. However, you know, you got to be a little cautious here. This is kind of where rallies have ended in 2022 for the space. And if we look at a more short-term oriented indicator, like the 10-week for growth, that's at 78%, which is the highest level since August as well. So I think on the short-term side, we're seeing a bit of froth from the laggards and the growth space right now. And, you know, as John touched on, if you start to look through a lot of those charts, they aren't necessarily overly favorable, at least just yet. Although we have had a strong month, you know, you look at some of these indicators, the short-term side, you're a bit overbought. On the intermediate side, you're running into some, you know, pretty big resistance. So I would be very cautious here trying to kind of chase those January leaders or those, you know, longer term laggards right now, at least. Getting over to US equities and just focusing on sectors here, looking at financials and healthcare. And healthcare was one of those stronger sectors last year, has been one of the worst performers so far this year, kind of mimicking what John said earlier with those leaders kind of underperforming compared to the laggards so far this year. Although we still see healthcare, you know, scoring pretty well on the group scores page, you know, nice average score above 3.5, positive score direction, similar picture for biotechs here. With financials, you see the broad financials group has an average score above 3 with a positive score direction. However, we see the banks are actually the lowest scoring sector group on the asset class group scores page and have a negative score direction. So, you know, pretty big difference between the banking subsector and then kind of the rest of the financial sector. And we'll kind of see that here when we look at the Spider Bank ETF, ticker KBE. Poor fund score 1.05. And, you know, while it's rallied so far this year, we look at the broader trend chart here, just this kind of big choppy range, and we're getting closer to the top of it than we are to the bottom of it. So something to be aware of there. Now, one stock and one area that's done pretty well consistently over the past couple of years is the insurance space. And Progressive has been one of the leaders there, ticker PGR. It's a 4-for-5er, 3 consecutive buy signals here, actionable in the trading band. So this is one you could look for here, or maybe if you wanted to try to wait for a pullback to the middle of the trading band, you could do that. But right now it's actionable and on 3 consecutive buy signals, and it's had a nice long-term trend established as well. So one you could consider. And then moving over to healthcare, again, one of those sectors that really hasn't participated in the positive start to the year, but still a strong scoring area of the market. We see 5.08 fund score, still maintains a positive score direction, trading right in the middle of the trading band. It does have support here in the 120 area, but you know, pretty much just right in the middle of the range that we've been in for a while for XLV here. Now, a couple of stocks to look at here within healthcare. Now, UNH had been, you know, I would say one of the strongest, one of the leaders of the group. Was a 5 for 5er, has dropped down to a 3 for 5er so far this year. Did take out a pretty, you know, significant area low at 488 here. Challenged its positive trend line and then bounced back up into a column of X's yesterday. I still think this is one you could hold on to if you do have exposure to it, but you do need to be very careful. And just the recent weakness is something that you really need to be aware of, and where you could have let this one kind of run on autopilot for most of 2022. We're at a point here where you really need to, you know, keep a shorter leash on this one if you do own it. Now, another one in the healthcare space is AbbVie, ticker ABBV. It's a 5 for 5er still, but a pretty negative start to the year. We saw it pull back from around 168 down to 146. It's close to heavily oversold territory, but still keeping that 5 attribute rating. There's a lot of support here from 144 down to 136, as well as its positive trend line at 134. It also pays you 4% to own it. So this is one where, you know, I wouldn't mind actually dipping my toes in if I already own it, adding a little bit here, or waiting for a reversal back up into X's. I think, you know, as those leaders have gotten hit a little bit, a lot of them like AbbVie are offering you pretty good opportunities here on pullbacks. But with that being said, I'll go ahead and pass it on over to David.
Thanks, Joe. And we'll go ahead and dive right into consumer cyclical as well as utilities. As has been talked about on the video, we've seen continued improvement out of the cyclical or discretionary space. Looking at the First Trust Consumer Discretionary AlphaDex Fund, FXD, we saw a return to a buy signal last week here at 53, continue to rally up to 55 with this week's action, clearing resistance there at August, bringing the chart up to levels we haven't seen since April of last year. Additionally, we've also seen the ETF move into a column of X's against the S&P equal weight following Friday's action. And it had been in a column of O's for really more than a year. So first time since 2021 that we've seen that chart back into a column of X's. Going to be a pretty big earnings week for the discretionary space, already has been and will continue to be, especially with tomorrow's action. First, McDonald's reported earnings yesterday, actually had positive earnings, but folks had seen the margins weighing for McDonald's, and that's continued to be a concern for the company. So we've seen a reversal down into O's, but still maintains a buy signal, still looking, keeping an eye on support there at 260, still maintains its 3 for 5er attribute. Although we did see a reverse down into a column of O's against the DWA restaurant sector with yesterday's action. So will be worth keeping an eye on McDonald's near term to see if it moves below 256 or potentially violates further support down here in the 230 level. Additionally, we have Amazon reporting earnings tomorrow. While we've seen Amazon improve, even move back into a positive trend here recently, as has been mentioned, we're seeing some of these discretionary names that have rallied pretty significantly come into resistance. We'll see if potentially earnings is able to boost Amazon above this resistance here at 102, 104, bringing it to levels we haven't seen since October of last year. But otherwise, we'll continue to watch support there at 92 and can see if it's able to further sustain per improvement or if it turns southward and test that support there at 92 or the bullish support line at 86. Overall, we continue to avoid Amazon, generally speaking. Now, looking at Nathan Famous, NATH is going to be another one reporting earnings tomorrow. Is given three consecutive buy signals with action yesterday, rallied up to that $74 level, clearing resistance that dates back to June of 2021, bringing the stock up to its highest level since that time as well. See some overhead resistance here at 78, but not much for Nathan's Famous. is a little on the overbought side, so potentially would look for a reversal down to 71 to add to it. There has been a pretty consistent performer for the sector, and really is one of the stocks that has been somewhat of a diamond in the rough for the past 6 months or so within this particular discretionary sector. Moving on over to the last stock we'll talk about, it's going to be Starbucks, SBUX. It's a 4 for 5. I've talked about it before, as it does rank second out of 25 in the restaurant sector matrix and presents a positive technical picture with 4 consecutive buy signals here, the most recent being a double top break there at 106 as it's rallied up to 108. We'll see here if it how much more of it has in the tank, if you will, because there is some pretty significant resistance here at 116, but at least at this moment still looks positive, and we'll keep continuing to watch for that resistance there at 116. And it also has earnings reporting tomorrow as well. Moving on over to utilities and taking a look at FXU, that being the First Trust Utilities AlphaDex Fund, one of the few utilities funds that maintains a score above 2, although with a group average there at 2, most of that is primarily due to mutual funds within that group. Looking at the chart of FXU right now, we actually have seen recent action move it back into a column of those, although it still technically maintains a buy signal. Not a whole lot of change for the sector overall, as it hasn't been able to rally above that prior resistance. Looking at FXU within the sector, similar to discretionary, a few diamonds in the rough there. CenterPoint Energy is going to be CNP. It's still a 4 for 5, or still maintains a column of X's. Although still technically on a sell signal and still technically in the formation of a shakeout pattern, the pattern would be complete with the triple top break there at 34, whereas reversal down would negate the pattern. So keep an eye on there. Also a stock that yields roughly 2.5%. Another positive technical picture that you could look to individually is going to be Edison International, EIX. It's a 3 for 5, or maintains a yield north of 4%. 2 consecutive buy signals that it completed last year has been potential, showing the potential to form a triple top here, which would be broken with a move above 70, but continue to monitor resistance there in the lower 70s as well. But it's a nice yielder there at just over 4%. Duke Energy is one to keep an eye on, as it's showing some notable improvement, really kind of continuing to buck the trend somewhat near term for stocks in the utility sector. While we've seen some really show some pretty significant drawdowns over the past 2 months, Duke Energy has maintained fairly well. Although 2 for 5 has given 3 consecutive buy signals, moved back into a positive trend back in November at this point, on the verge of potentially showing further improvement, move above 108 would be a 4th consecutive buy signal for the stock as well, and it's another high yielder just shy of 4% there. So just some yielding stocks that you could look to within the utility space. But to continue our conversation on sectors, we'll go ahead and pass it on over to Will.
Thanks, David. Just going to mention some things for real estate this week. If you want to hear some recent thoughts on Staples, I talked about them on last week's weekly rundown. Sticking with real estate, though, no changes to the macro rankings. It's still a laggard and a recommended underweight on our 2 major indicators. First one's Dolly, as you see it just above communication services and still pretty far way off from technology. And then on our asset class group scores page, similarly, it's the second from the bottom, but instead ranking above financial banks. Something small to note that is a positive for real estate is this average score, so that average fund score for all the ETFs and mutual funds did cross back above 2 for the first time since September of 2022. So you're seeing some type of kind of near-term, maybe bottoming type of recovery, but still well beneath the score of 3. So not something I would get too excited about right now. In the marketplace, 2 funds I want to highlight. XLRE got back to a positive point and figure trend at 40.50 on the 27th, so late last week. This is a notable break for sure on an absolute basis. Relatively, though, it's still hurting. Relatively speaking, it still has a lot of unfavorable components, which is keeping that fund score pretty low. Something to watch, but again, not something that's a big change of thought right here. EWRE is the equal-weighted fund, so your average stock per se is fighting with its downtrend line right now at 33.50. 34 would break that downtrend line. Something else to consider and keep in mind. Just on that absolute basis, speaking about January being a laggard month, real estate, one of those laggard sectors, definitely seeing some of that performance. Some indicators, though, that I do want to caution again about real estate being a laggard sector are these shorter-term readings and high fuel position. This is a very short-term one. It's the positive weekly momentum for the real estate sector. It's just above 84%. It's actually near 88%, which is the high from August and November of 2022, and really before that, the high since June of 20, which preceded pretty notable pullback. So I would keep that in mind. Also, the 10-week for the real estate sector is up at 84, nearly 84%, which is, again, right around those August highs and the highest since June of 21. And the bullish percent, so the percentage of stocks in the real estate sector on point figure buy signals, also at your August high at 40%. So point being is that I think there's a lot of near-term froth in here, as Joseph was mentioning, with some other sectors, laggard areas, along with others. So I think there's some areas that, given its positioning, could be worth trimming. Two names around the earnings front, Mid-America Apartment, MAA, reporting after market close today. Four attribute name, looking for clearance of resistance at 168. Break at 170 would be constructive on the downside. 152 put you back in a negative trend. And at most, we would be holders at that point, no longer buyers. And then Simon Property Group, also on earnings later this week. Really nice kind of chart picture here coming off this longer term downtrend. Four attribute could be a name to consider, ideally maybe on a bit of normalization given the stem, but not being too picky, I think this looks pretty good right here. That's all I have this week. So, Jamie, I'll pass it over to you now.
Materials gained three buy signals over the last week, overtaking energy. This is the first time we've seen materials move into number one in the Dolly sector ranking since May of last year. All of those buy signals coming from metals, an area we continue to see strength from within the materials sector. We also see the materials sector ranking second out of all 134 groups within the asset class group score system. So clearly an area of strength that we want to be overweighting here. The Select Spider Materials Fund, ticker XLB, up a little under 2% over the last week, outgaining the S&P 500 by about 40 basis points. We can see it remains on a sell signal, having hit resistance here at 84. As we've noted a couple of times, the fund score for XLB, you know, notably lower than the average for all materials funds. So, you know, you may want to consider another sector fund or more targeted exposure, you know, as you add exposure to materials. One area, you know, to take a look at, obviously metals, the Van Eck Steel Index ETF, ticker SLX, up about 3.7% over the last week. We can see a near perfect 5.93 fund score and a positive 4.51 score direction. It is in heavily overbought territory, so you may want to look to add exposure on a pullback. SLX also notably carrying almost a 5% yield. So, you know, if you're looking to add some of that targeted exposure, you know, industrial metals and steel in particular, an area to take a look at. Moving on, we did see energy fall out of the top of the Dolly sector rankings. This is the first time that energy has not been atop those rankings since August. The Spider Select Energy Fund, ticker XLE, down roughly 40 basis points over the last week, remains on a buy signal. Overall, you know, favorable fund score, but we also see now a negative score direction. So, you know, some potential signs of weakening there for energy. We are continuing to see outperformance by equipment and services. You can see the 7-day performance, IEZ up almost 4%. Meanwhile, energy exploration and production down nearly 1%. So, you know, pretty strong difference there. Still seeing a lot of relative strength out of equipment and services. And, you know, that translates over to the fund score. We see IEZ, a 5.81 fund score, significantly better than the fund score for XLE or IEO, you know, sitting in the 4 range. So, you know, both energy and materials remain areas, you know, that we want to overweight, you know, clearly seeing more relative strength out of materials right now, particularly in that metals area. Meanwhile, within energy, continuing to see equipment and services be an area of relative strength as opposed to exploration and production. So that's all I have on those sectors, and I will throw it over to Miles.
Thanks, Jamie. Yeah, we'll go ahead and get started with the communication services and industrial groups. Starting with communication services, we see it still towards the bottom in the basement of those Dolly sector rankings, earning 39 buy signals here. So still an underweight status, broadly speaking. Moving over into the communication services Select Spider Fund XLC, as we've touched on throughout the call, it's been a laggards rally here and no different for XLC, up 14%, outperforming most of the rest of the spider suite only falling behind the consumer discretionary for the month of January here, still showcasing a subprime or suboptimal their 1.67 fund score, but is now paired with a positive 1.44 score direction, kind of speaking the magnitude of that near-term upside participation. Looking at the default trend chart here, not many changes over the last week, just advanced one box to a price of $55, are sitting towards the top of that trading band there. So speaking to kind of the extent of upside participation, we're seeing some overextended territory for the broad sector fund, probably carries over into some individual names within the sector. Speaking of individual names within the sector, top two holdings for the fund, Meta and Alphabet, report earnings over the next 2 days. We'll take a look at their technical picture here. Meta comes here after close with today's action, is a 3-for-5, was a dog throughout the majority of 2022, but we can see here up nearly 24% year to date, above the top of its trading band with a weekly overbought oversold reading of 99%, almost 100%. So from here, we're going to look to probably cross eventually there. The next kind of site we have our eyes set on is 170, and then more notably at 182 with negative earnings, or with a negative surprise, excuse me, to tomorrow's earnings. We don't see support until 114 below the middle of the trading band. Moving over into Google or Alphabet, ticker GOOGL is another 3-for-5 here, ranks in the bottom portion of that internet sector matrix. A little bit more range bound than Meta here, only up 12% year to date. But in terms of earnings tomorrow and where we stand, we're going to look at an upper range resistance there at 100 and then 102, 104 levels. That would kind of be a positive a sign to move past those with earnings tomorrow. And then we see support there at $94. Moving over into the industrial group here, it is still firmly in equal weight status in the fifth position in our Dolly sector rankings. And looking over at the asset class group scores page, it's just below that kind of blue sky zone with a score of in the 3.9 or so range. So positive equal weight status for the industrial group. Taking a look at the percent positive trend for the group, mentioned it last week, sitting at that kind of 2022 high at 46% of the group sitting on or in a positive trend. With this week's action, moved to 48%, so just under 50% of stocks sitting on or in a positive trend within the broad sector positive to see. As we've mentioned frequently over the last couple of weeks, equal weight continues to be an area of strength. Over their cap weighted counterparts, the equal weight industrials ETF RGI is no exception here. 5.53 fund score paired with a positive 1.48 score direction and scoring above some of those other funds we typically compare it to. With this week's action, broke a quadruple top buy signal there at 190. Supports offered there at the middle of the trading band at 182, and then possibly more notably there at 176. One stock to look out for within the group on the back of positive earnings yesterday is Dover Corporation, DOV. Is a 3-for-5 here, machinery and tools, broad sector, ranks in the top quartile of the group matrix here. And with, again, as I mentioned, positive earnings broke a quintuple top there at 146 before moving as far as 152. Does bring it towards the top of the trading band, so those interested in initiating a position may look to do so on a reversal back down towards the middle of the trading band. With that said, that's it for me, and I'll pass it over to Ian to wrap up sector coverage.
Great. Thank you, Miles. So the broader technology space has continued to see a little bit of near-term strength over the course of the past week or so. Didn't lead to any changes over the course of the past month in the broad Dolly domestic equity sector ranking, still sits down there in the ninth position in an underweight posture, an underweight recommendation. We did see a little bit of changes on the asset class group scores page, though. So if you look at the technology group average group score on that page, you see it crossed above that 2.5 score threshold for the first time since January of last year when it was declining from elevated territory. So we got up kind of towards the 2.5 zone back in March, got up again towards it back in August, now kind of just moved above it, 2.53 average score currently. Interesting to note too, we did see internet tick above the average score for the broader technology group. which is generally a bullish sign to see when coming out of kind of lower field position for both of these areas, and something we haven't seen. It's really kind of since the June, July timeframe of last year. So we'll see if that can be sustained, kind of its widest separation since the decline began, but that definitely going to be a point to watch to see if that laggard internet area continues to see some score improvement. And one area that we're going to continue to monitor, one indicator we're continuing to monitor rather, is going to be that bullish percent for the technology sector, ticker BPEC Tech on the platform. It's sitting up at that chart level of 46%, which is the same level we reached in August and the same level we reached in March. So kind of at a potential turning point. It'd be great to see it kind of continue to tick back up higher, get back above that 50% threshold. But on the other hand, this is a place where we've kind of topped out in other rallies throughout the course of last year. So definitely going to be an indicator to continue to monitor there as we move through the remaining 11 months of 2023. In looking at a few stock names, one name that's shown a lot of consistency, we've touched on it a couple times, that's Broadcom, ticker AVGO. It's now given 5 consecutive buy signals, added another buy signal last week. It's one of the stronger names within the semiconductor space, or at least certainly one of the more consistent names within the semiconductor space, with not quite as high of a relative risk rating as some of the other positions. So it could be a name to kind of look toward to take advantage of some of that strength in the broader semi space. On the other hand, we have seen some areas show weakness, one of those being Booz Allen Hamilton, ticker BAH. This has been one of the more favorable looking names, or was one of the more favorable looking names throughout much of the second half of last year. We talked about it. It's kind of a more resilient, stronger name. Still see a low relative risk rating for it. However, we've seen that strength really deteriorate over the course of the past couple of weeks. It's dropped 2 attributes, falling all the way down now to a 2-for-5 attribute threshold. So still in a positive trend, but nonetheless, given that 2 attribute rating, would no longer be an area that we would look toward holding. And then before wrapping up, can't wrap up the tech coverage without touching on Apple, given that they are reporting earnings this week. They're reporting earnings after market close on Thursday. So current technical picture is a 3-for-5 from an attribute perspective, tick back up into a positive trend in the month of January. We do see overhead resistance around the 148 to 156-ish point. So in the 150, some notable overhead resistance from the fourth quarter of last year. Initial support's going to be found at that 126 level. So definitely a name that many people are going to be monitoring over the next couple of days. So then wrapping up there with the domestic equity space and shifting gears into international equities, didn't see a ton of changes over the course of the past week, but there were a lot of changes over the course of the past month. The international equities asset class added 36 buy signals in the month of January, far and away the most of any asset class. Actually, it was the only asset class to gain buy signals in the month of January. And seen now ticked up 112 buy signals since the end of September. So real steady and consistent improvement from the broader international equity space. Led a lot of names in overbought positioning, but we've noticed in looking at the asset class group scores page, you can look at the average overbought oversold reading for that all global and international diversified group. That reached a reading up near 100% for the second time in this rally, back just last week, up at 95%. Last Thursday, and we've seen it begin to decline a little bit. So while the strength of the space still remains intact, we're seeing some of those overbought readings pull back a little bit from extended levels. That would be an overall positive sign for the space, given that many names were trading up either at the top or north of the top of their respective trading bands. And looking at the broader country breakdown, didn't see a ton of changes over the course of the past week. We did see one name deteriorate quite a bit, and that was India. India fell 9 spots over the course of the past month down there into the middle hold position, whereas Italy showed some improvement and ticked up into the top quartile of the rankings. So India has been a name that's shown a lot of weakness also on the group scores page. And so from that score perspective, looking at the broader MSCI India ETF, INDA, but dropped below the 3 score threshold, gave a sell signal, or is actually given a sell signal with movement today out of the 40-50 point, and is now looking towards support around 40 and then that bullish support line in the 39 range. So this is a name that had been a leader within the space. It's shown a little bit more weakness over the past few weeks. One name that's showing strength, as we mentioned, is Italy. So looking at larger Italy ETF there from iShares, ticker EWI. seen consistent improvement, a couple consecutive buy signals, moved back into a positive trend last week. This chart looks all very similar to many of the European representatives, but like many of those names, also still seeing it in an overbought position. So we'd ideally like to see some normalization or a pullback there from the top of the trading band for those looking at exposure. So with that, that wraps up what I was looking to touch on here for international, and we'll throw it back on over to Jamie.
The Fed will wrap up its February meeting today with futures pricing in a 98% chance of a 25 basis point increase, which will be another step down in the pace of tightening from the Fed. That would put the target at 450 to 475 basis points. Current market expectations is for rates to top out at around 5%, which would imply one more 25 basis point increase. I think investors will be looking for confirmation of that, as well as any clues as to when the Fed may reverse course and what the potential catalyst may be for a reversal into a loosening or cutting of rates. Long-term Treasury yields have remained relatively flat recently, TNX hovering between 3.55 and 3.45%, largely over the last week. We have seen expectations for volatility in the bond market drop significantly. The B of A ML Move Index broke a spread triple bottom, and now has fallen to $100, the lowest level, or I'm sorry, 100, not $100, the lowest level we've seen since June of last year. Overall, marginal improvement in the relative strength rankings in the asset class group scores. Fixed income rankings. We can see there are now four groups above the 3.0 score threshold. More head count we've seen in that zone in some time. Meanwhile, we see corporate bond high yield and a few other groups kind of pushing up towards that 3.0 score threshold. We do continue to see most long duration groups near the bottom of the rankings. This makes up a lot of the core of the U.S. fixed income market. Obviously still some work to be done there before we see, real strength returning to that core of the market. But overall, seeing some marginal improvement, clearly, expectations for volatility kind of dying down as we kind of are reaching, I think what the market expects to be the plateau in terms of, Fed rate hikes. So moving on to commodities, it remains third in the Dolly asset class rankings. We did see industrial metals move above precious metals in the intra asset class rankings. Other than that, not a ton of changes within commodities. We continue to see silver at the top of the continuous commodity matrix, copper notably moving up to the third, reflecting some of that strength we've seen in industrial metals. And then meanwhile, natural gas remaining at the bottom as it has been for some time now. Taking a look at a couple of individual charts, first up, crude oil fell to a sell signal on Monday when it broke a double bottom at 78. You may remember a couple of weeks ago, we saw crude return to a positive overall trend, but it once again ran into resistance here in the 82, 83 range, now falling back to a sell signal. Beyond just, the positive trend change, I really think we need to see a clearance of this resistance, before we can say that a real change in the direction of oil may be underway. Natural gas continuing to grind downward, gave another sell signal when it broke a double bottom at 265 on Monday. Natural gas now at multi-year lows, really no kind of signal as to when the kind of downtrend in natural gas may end, really kind of a falling knife at this point. And then finally, gasoline fell to a sell signal on Monday when it broke a double bottom at 256. Remains in a negative trend on its point and figure chart, but we can kind of see the short-term trend appears to be to the upside, a series of higher rally highs and then, higher sell-off lows. Gasoline, perhaps like the one area of the energy market, kind of on an upswing at this point, although we did see gasoline fall to a sell signal this week. It has reversed up into a column of X's on its market RS chart versus broad commodities. So, a positive sign there for at least one section of the energy complex. So you know, really not a lot of changes within fixed income or commodities this week. I think, you know, obviously in fixed income, investors waiting to see what comes out of the Fed meeting as that wraps up today. Meanwhile, in commodities, you know, really the same areas of strength in metals. Meanwhile, energy remaining, you know, the major area of weakness at this point. So that's all I have on fixed income and commodities, and I will throw it over to John to wrap us up.
Great. Thanks a lot, Jamie. So there's a lot going on this week. As Jamie just mentioned, we've got the Fed meeting wrapping up today, and we'll have some clarity there. And then there's also a ton of earnings coming out this week. So we expect a fair amount of changes with all the indicators and a lot of the relative strength rankings. And we'll be back next week to talk about any changes that we see over the coming week.